It's a wonderful day to gather together and to worship God. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 46. That's where we're going to be in our lesson this morning, Psalm 46. And we're going to go through this psalm. It's a beautiful psalm. It's one that I like a lot, and it's one that I think can be especially pertinent at this time of year, around the holiday seasons. I love Christmas, and I love the holiday season, and I love all that goes along with it. But at the same time, a lot of people at this time of year experience a feeling of being overwhelmed. And it could be a number of sources or a number of factors that contribute to that. It could be grief. It could be a full and busy schedule. It could be travel plans. It could be just obligation after obligation. There's so many things that end up taking over our lives. And sometimes it's important to slow down, to stop, and to reflect upon what ultimately matters most. And I think Psalm 46 is one of those psalms that can call us to do that. It can call us to remember who's in charge. It can call us to slow down and to let God be God and us enjoy the show. And so if you would, turn to Psalm 46. This is beginning in Psalm 42. I don't know if you... Something that's interesting about the Psalms is they're actually divided up into like five books. So we think of the book of Psalms, but if you read through the Psalms, it's actually like five books of Psalms. If you go to Psalm 42 really fast, if you look right above that in your Bibles, like right above where it says Psalm 42, some of your Bibles might say something like book two. Do you guys see that in there? Yeah. We're beginning the second book of the Psalms when you get to Psalm 42. In Psalm 42 through 49, they all share something in common. This second book begins, and it is a collection of psalms from the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah. Korah, we're not told exactly who it is, but it's probably, he was a Levite, probably a reference to the Levite in the wilderness wanderings who was swallowed up by the earth after leading a rebellion against Moses. And his descendants, however, were Levitical singers. The Levites led in the worship and the praise of God. And so his children seem to be those who have participated in the writing of some of these psalms, and there's a collection of them right in the heart of our book of Psalms. And so we're going to be studying Psalm 46, which is one of these psalms. And again, I like this collection of psalms. I think the sons of Korah focus on some really important and beautiful things, and Psalm 46 is one of those psalms. I think you can get a pretty good idea of what the whole psalm is about by reading just the first verse. The first verse says these words, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble." The basic idea of it is we're going to live a life where trouble arises, and we need to know where to go. We need to know where our stronghold is, where our shelter is, where our strength comes from. And he doesn't say your strength comes from worrying a whole lot about the trouble. Sometimes that's our go-to. He's like, there's trouble, I'll go to worry. That's not what he says to do. Our solution to the trouble doesn't come from turning against other people. It doesn't come from trying to, pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and overcome. It doesn't come by stress and anxiety. He wants us to know from the very first verse, when you begin to feel overwhelmed, there is a shelter. There is a strength. There is a refuge to which you can flee as the trouble arises, and that is God. As we go through the psalm, we'll see this idea of the presence of God pop up over and over again. If you look at verses 7 and verses 11, these two verses, you'll read them, you'll see that they say the same thing. This is the main theme of the psalm. If God is an ever-present help, what do I need to know about him? You need to know that he's here with you now. So you look at verse 7, and it says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold." So the stronghold that you need to flee to where God is, it's with you right now. So remember the ever presence of God in your life. Remember that God is with you. And then the psalm concludes in verse 11. "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold." And so the Lord is with you and he's your stronghold. So where do you need to go? You don't need to hop in your car and even drive anywhere. You need to recognize that God is with you and he's with you now. So take hope in that. Take joy in that. Have comfort in that. because you will face trouble in this life. There will be difficulty. There are times where you will feel overwhelmed. And what we need to remember at that time is, even when it seems like things are out of my control, they probably are, but God is the one who's ultimately in control. So let's look at a couple of examples of when things get out of control in this psalm. He's going to begin by talking about creation itself. Creation is out of our control. And sometimes creation is something that causes a lot of worry and stress and frustration in our lives. The world around us doesn't always do what we want it to. He says in verse 2, you know, with the idea in mind that God is our refuge and our strength, I'm not going to fear. Verse 2 begins, therefore I will not fear, or we will not feel fear, though the earth should change or come undone. Verse 2 continues, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. This is an image of like creation undone. It's like, what's the worst thing you could imagine? Imagine a storm so catastrophic that the mountains quake with fear as the sea crushes them and arises over them. There might be a couple of images, like biblical images, that pop into your head as you read that. The flood. You know, that's one of those images that might pop into the minds of a Jew who's reading this text. Creation itself. So if you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, to the creation story that begins our Bible, you'll see that each successive day is a new creative act that God engages in. And when you look at day 3, it says that God moved the waters so that the dry land appeared. Something that's really interesting. He doesn't actually say that God created the dry land. It says he separated the waters. He separated them from the land so that dry land appeared. And what that tells us is there was a time when all the earth was covered by the waters. And when you get to the flood, that's basically God is going back to that time. He's undoing his creative act and starting over. Well, what this passage is saying is, even if you look out your window and you see that happening, even if the waves begin crashing in Middle Tennessee or in East Tennessee or in you know, wherever you are in the world, and you start seeing that the waters begin to rise, you think, oh dear, what's happening? This is it. Think for a second. If you saw that happening, could you go stop it? Like, if you thought, all right, I need to go fix this problem, could you step outside and solve that problem? I mean, think about just the storms we do face that aren't this catastrophic. Think about floods that have come. Think about tornadoes. All right, there's a tornado come. Go fix it. You know, good luck. There are things in this life that are catastrophic and that we are basically helpless to solve. We can't do anything. What do you do in those situations? Well, one thing that's important to remember is where your strength comes from. It doesn't come from your ability to stop the flood. It comes from the God who can see you through it. When you get to verse 4, something really interesting happens. The sea and the water in the Bible, and in the Hebrew Bible especially, is often like represented as a source of chaos and fear. It's what cannot be tamed or controlled. I mean, you see it in the New Testament too. Think about most of the boat stories you read in the Bible. What do almost every one of them have in common? There's a storm. It's like almost every time, whether you're talking about Noah, or whether you're talking about Jonah, or whether you're talking about Jesus, or whether you're talking about Paul, like shipwrecks and storms and people being terrified on the sea, that's a very prominent feature in Hebrew poetry and in Hebrew, like their worldview, is that the sea is often chaotic and needs to be controlled. And so what you see happening here, he says that even if the sea breaks loose and covers everything, I'm not going to fear. Because verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. This is some temple imagery, talking about the city of Jerusalem, talking about the dwelling of God, which is the temple there. And he uses the picture of, you think seas are outside of God's control? You think seas are uncontrollable? Look at what God does with the water. He makes a river of gladness flow into the city of God. What he's saying is God can control the water to where it actually becomes something useful and beneficial to you. Now, one of the things that's interesting about this passage is that that river that's being discussed, it is a metaphorical river. Like, if you look at Jerusalem, there isn't a river that flows into Jerusalem. That makes Jerusalem susceptible during sieges and things like that. It was a concern among those who lived in Jerusalem that they could be surrounded by enemy armies. In fact, Hezekiah, one of their kings, there was a spring of water that they get most of their water from that was outside the city, and he had to build some tunnels from that to get it into the city to solve this issue. Well, the way that the psalmist is describing God as the solution to our problems is that it is this God that we serve who can put a river even into the city that we long for. And if you look at that biblical image throughout the Bible, you can see Eden has rivers flowing from it. You can see in the book of Revelation, the story of the Bible concludes with this great city with the river of life that is flowing through it. You can look at Ezekiel towards the end. There's these pictures of like this glorified temple. And what do you see coming from the temple? The river is flowing even from the temple itself. God providing a river for his people is a sign of God's presence and blessing to his people. It's a sign of hope, and rivers are actually really, really important, not just in ancient society, but in modern society also. But the image that you're getting here is God turning chaos into something useful and a blessing, turning the waters that bring fear and doubt and stress and trouble into waters that bring gladness to his people. So when the world around you is in chaos, who is still in control? God is. When you are helpless to stop it, who is still in control? God is. Because, and this is when you get to verse 7, because the Lord of hosts is with us and God is our stronghold. When you look at verse 6, he introduces a new problem into the story. The first one is like creation, which is out of our control. The next one is warfare in the nations and peoples rising up against peoples. In verse 6, it says, the nations made an uproar, the kingdoms tottered, yet he raised his voice, the earth melted. That's when it says, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord in verse 8. Who has wrought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear into two. He burns the chariots with fire. So you picture, what are things that are outside of your control? Well, you have like the floods that are rising. You have enemies and war and things like that. All right, again, there's war going on in our world right now. Go fix it. It's like, how much power do you have to go step into the Middle East to be like, hey guys, let's just listen to me. I'm going to solve this thing. I know it's been going on for a while, but like, you are basically powerless about that. What about when an enemy, what about when Babylon is coming towards your city and you're thinking, what are we going to do? How can you go stop that? Ultimately, you can't. That's outside of your control. You may feel overwhelmed when that happens. So what do you remember? You remember God is the one who's in control. Who do you go to for a relief, for strength, and for refuge? You flee to God. That's what Psalm 46 is calling us to remember. When the world is outside of our control, it is. So go to the one who is in control. And you don't always know what God is going to do, but you do know that God has done incredible things. That's why the invitation in verse 8, behold the works of the Lord. Think of the things that God has done. He uses the image here of God destroying the weapons of warfare that could harm you. I think this psalm right here, in my mind, it's a beautiful image of what the whole Exodus story is detailing. Remember the scene where the children of Israel have fled from Egypt and they're stuck. They have the Red Sea, the chaotic waters in front of them, and they have the Egyptian armies after them. You have the nations, you have the seas, and they're stuck in the middle thinking, what are they going to do? In Exodus 14, they're told what to do. They're told to be quiet and to watch. The Lord will fight for them. They're told, you're in a situation you can't solve, so trust in God and rely on him right now. And what happens? The seas become dry land and their enemies are overcome by God. And all of a sudden they are brought safely to the other side because not their own strength and might, but because of what the Lord has done. So that's in essence what the psalm is giving us. So look at the conclusion of it in verses 10 and 11. This is his conclusion of the whole thing. So he says, so cease striving. Or some of your Bibles might say, so be still and know that I am God. Sometimes the best thing to do is to calm down, to slow down, and to recognize that God is the one who can take control of this situation in a way that no matter how much I want to, I cannot. And so we be still. We recognize who God is. And he says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. So you read through the psalm, and I think that there are some beautiful images there and some really helpful things. But I also get to the psalm, and I recognize that right now, I look at the world around me, and the mountains are not being swallowed up by waters. And I look around, and I'm actually not that afraid right now of any enemy that's pressing in. And so I look at it, and I think, I love the psalm, I love the meaning, I love the message. But when I think about what's going on in my own life, it's not exactly these issues. But what issues are present in my own life? What issues cause me to need to stop, to be still, and to know who God is? What issues might cause me to need the reminder that God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble? Well, that's why I started off the lesson talking a little bit about the season. This season can bring a lot of different feelings and hardships. It can feel like things are becoming out of control, overwhelming. It can feel like the mountains are being swallowed up by the waters and the enemies are pressing in all around. Sometimes, even though it's supposed to be a season of joy, it can be a season of hardship and grief and sorrow. So here's what I want to do as we kind of start to bring the lesson to a close. Just a couple of things to remember as this holidays approach and as the season approaches. One, I know there are many people right now, when you look at your schedule, you realize that everyone, as the season approaches, is being demanding of it. Whether it's schools, whether it's work, whether it's family obligations, whether it's church, like there are so many things that are creeping up, and you're looking up and you're thinking, I don't know how I'm going to do it all. And rather than it causing you joy, it's causing you anxiety and stress and then guilt because you don't think you can do it all. And you're trying to think of how can I be the perfect parent or the perfect child or all of these things. And I just want to remind you a really important thing. You are allowed to say no to things sometimes. And that doesn't make you a bad person. And it doesn't mean you should feel guilty about that. There are times when you need to recognize that I'm having an unhealthy amount of stress because of all of these obligations, and probably what I should do is not to do some of those things. That's actually a biblical idea too. One of the things that we miss that I think we would do well to prioritize in our lives is that God actually wanted his people to have Sabbath rest. God really wanted his people to take time to say, I'm actually going to do nothing right now, and I'm going to let God be in control. Now, sometimes Sabbath can be frightening. Think about a Sabbath day. Think about when you're having financial struggles. And you think, you know, it would really be helpful if I could work today. And God says, actually, no, I still don't want you to. It's a reminder that even when I'm not working, the world is still going okay. It's a reminder that even when I am not stressed out and trying to accomplish the next thing and trying to finish, there still is a God who is still in control. Israel had a reminder of that every week. I think sometimes we can get so caught up in the hustle and bustle of life that we don't ever give ourselves a reminder of that. Sometimes it's okay to say no and to not do something. Don't feel guilty about that. That could be a valuable time to reflect upon who God is, on what matters most, and that life is about more than accomplishing the next thing. Secondly, I would remind you, with what I just said, sometimes that might mean someone says no to you. Sometimes that might mean that someone who you wanted something from is saying, I can't do it right now. And what I would encourage you to do is not let the anger or the frustration of that add more stress and frustration to your life, but rather be patient, be kind, and be understanding. You don't always know what another person is experiencing or going through. You don't always know what another person's, what is required of them, and what that is doing either to them or to their family. And sometimes it's healthy to take a break, and you want them to take a break from something else rather than from you, but I would encourage you, don't let the choices of others add to the frustration and overwhelming stress that you're experiencing. Be understanding, be kind, and say, you know what, even though it's the holidays, I'll see you in a couple of weeks. You know, even though it's the holidays, we can make this work out later. We don't need to kill ourselves to get it all done here and right now. And so that, I think, is an important reminder also. Number three, it's okay to say yes. So I've just said it's okay to say no, and that you should be understanding when people do, but also it's okay to say yes. It's okay to say yes and go spend time with someone when you're having a hardship. It's okay to invite someone to spend time with you when you are in need. You know, there are times when during this season we can experience loneliness, we can experience bitterness, we can experience sorrow, and what we might need is to break the habit of being alone and go be with other people. Go join something. Go take advantage of some of the opportunities that are around you. I would encourage you to do that. Different people will experience this season in very different ways. Some people might need to start saying no to things. Some people might need to start saying yes to things. But I would encourage you to look into your own life and look at what's going on and do what is best for you and for your well-being. I would also encourage you at this season, if you're feeling overwhelmed, remember, you actually can't always control all of that. It's not always about your yeses and your noes. Sometimes what you need to do is stop, read a scripture, read a psalm like this, pray and worship. And remember that God actually is the one in charge. And remember that there is a God who is ever present. To remember that there is a refuge and you can contact him anytime. And you don't need to go to a temple in Jerusalem to do it. He is with you. You can reach out to God now. You can put your trust in God now. And so I would encourage you to reach out and to remember what matters most through prayer, through scripture, and through worship. And then finally, I would encourage you to trust in the nearness of the present help that is God. Not only should you pray and worship and reach out to God, but recognize and take peace in the fact that God is reaching out to you. That you cannot control the holidays, but you know what? You don't always need to. You can't control the frustration. You can't control the war. You can't control the floods, but you can grow close to God. And ultimately, that is what matters most. I also remember Mary and Martha. You have one mindset that says, Jesus is here. There's so much work to be done. There's so much to do to get the house ready and the food ready and all of the responsibilities. And the other one who remembers, there's actually one thing that matters. And I'm not going to refuse her of the good. Sometimes we can get focused on the decorations and the food and the obligations and this and this and this and this. And we actually forget there's really something peaceful about this time of year. There's something that should bring calm to us. So as we bring our lesson to a close, I'm going to use the words of verse 10 to offer a challenge. Even in the hectic craziness of life, be still and know that the Lord is God. And if we can help you in your walk with God here this morning, please let that be known. If we can help you grow closer to him, if we can help you become a Christian this morning, naming Christ as your Lord, having your sins washed away in baptism, please let it be known. You can talk to one of our elders in the library in the back, or you can come sit on our front row while we stand and as we sing.